And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 14 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen with you. What's going on, Jakey?
Not too much, Nick. I'm wondering who's cooked on today's episode. Is it the Devils? Is it the Rangers? Is it the Jets? Is it all three of those teams that I mentioned? I'm also loving staying up and watching Macklin Celebrini. He's given me so much reason to stay up on the East Coast and watch these Sharks games. So I'm in a good mood today. How is everything going with you, buddy?
Yeah, me too. I think this race for the Hart Trophy is so intriguing. You have McDavid on a different planet. You have McKinnon on a different orbit. And then you have Macklin Celebrini. I don't even think he can get into a bar in the States. And the guy is just must-see TV. Like, you had Will Ferrell in attendance last night. And what a story that's been in fantasy hockey this year. I don't know exactly where we had Celebrini ranked, but he has been unbelievable for that Sharks team. And I tell you, if they get into the playoffs, how do you not pick that guy to win the MVP award here?
Showing up with Ron Burgundy in attendance as well, the pressure on, seeing him there sitting in front of the glass. And I look, Meany, I'm curious your take on this and this Hart Trophy conversation. I think most of us have just thought McKinnon is bounds above everybody else this year. But if we're talking about value, what Celebrini's doing in San Jose, how many more points he has than everybody else on that Sharks team, if they make the playoffs, the even strength scoring, everything he's doing, the clutch moments like we saw on Wednesday night, you could build a pretty strong case for Celebrini at the moment.
100%. The Sharks won 20 games last year. They've won 22 already. And he's playing with kids on his line. He's a 19-year-old. I think he had the fourth most points ever from a teenager in the calendar year. He's absolutely phenomenal. I've been staying up extremely late on the East Coast to watch his games. And he's just so impressive, man. It's very, very impressive what he's doing. And to me, Nick, the award, most valuable player, we know that the game's best player is McDavid and McKinnon, but the most valuable to your team, where would the Sharks be without Macklin Celebrini? They'd be one of the worst teams in the squad, and they're not right now.
You're right, and all I know, not to breeze by in victory lap already, but I took the over 70 points for the San Jose Sharks this season. I think they're going to breeze yeah. by that, so we're feeling good.
You're
but Celebrini's been a marvelous story. Let's get to this mailbag. It's big. It's normal for early 2026. A lot of people asking, hey, I need some replacement options, Jake, for the New York Rangers. Shesterkin on the shelf. Adam Fox, again, I know people are just so annoyed that Adam Fox is not on the U.S. Olympic team. Maybe it's because he's hurt all the time. This year, he's been so banged up. He's on LTIR. I don't know who you take who's going to run that power play there. Maybe it's Gavrikov. I still have more hope in a guy, a youngster like Scott Morrow. And Jonathan Quick, can I interest you in him, Jake?
You can, to an extent. I think Quick has proven himself as a very suitable backup for the Rangers the last year and a half. Now, the problem is moving into more of a starter role. Is he going to be able to handle that kind of workload at his age? And how good are the Rangers in general? How many games is this team actually going to win? And they've become a team that we can't trust at Madison Square Garden at all. So I don't mind Quick in a deep league, but I don't think he's somebody that you can really trust. Certainly not somebody that's going to replace Igor Shesterkin if you're an owner. I'm seeing tons of goaltending questions in the mailbag, guys, which isn't surprising because, again, it feels like we get a new goaltender hurt every day. Petey, I don't know if you have a take on this goaltending situation or anybody that jumps out, but we've got Ottinger questions, we've got Dostal questions, obviously Igor Shesterkin questions, just everybody trying to figure out how they can get a save in fantasy hockey right now.
So I wanted to mention that, so Rangers host the Sabres on Thursday night, and this feels like a changing in the guard that's happening in the Eastern Conference, right? I'm not going to predict what's going to happen in this game, but I think we all know what's probably going to happen with no Shesterkin, no Fox. Miller might come back, but I mean, you could make the debate Jonathan Quick or UPL from that game alone, and I would probably side with UPL. UPL's 4-1-0 during the Sabres' nice bounce-back stretch with a 930 or so save percentage in that span.
Yeah, I like UPL. I think that's a pretty good call. And, you know, Alex Lyon could return soon, but maybe you pick him up and stash him and you rock these two Buffalo goalies. You know, there's a couple goalies that are hanging around 50% of leagues. Dan Vladar, John Gibson, if you missed the boat on either of those two. Maybe Jari was dropped. He's skating. He could be back soon. Montembeau and Fowler. I know there's a three-man rotation in Montreal right now, but I would expect Dobish probably to be sent down in the future and they roll with those two goalies. And how about Philip Grubauer? Guys, we talked about the Kraken in the last episode. I know that it's probably going to come crashing down at some point. But Nick, he's among the leaders in save percentage, high danger save percentage, mid-range save percentage. And the Kraken are kind of a stingy team at 5-5. They don't score a lot of goals, but him and Decord, they've been pretty decent for Seattle lately.
Guys, I'm telling you that Buffalo-Seattle Stanley Cup final is going to hit like the first snowfall. Like we are destined for that. I'm not kidding, man. These two teams are playing some excellent hockey. I got to pinch myself and be like, where am I? Because like a month ago, I was talking about Lane Lambert losing his mind and not really talking to the media, and I chewed into him, and I don't think they've lost since that, Jake.
I talked about both of them being lottery teams at different points of this season, and now we're talking about them as playoff teams. I know producer Bobby was on it with the Buffalo Sabres, and we'll continue to track that as the season goes on. They had the win streak, and you know they've handled themselves relatively well after the win streak ended, bouncing back with that nice win over the Canucks. Pete mentions the game against the New York Rangers, which I'm fascinated by coming up here as well. And Seattle, Nick, I did not see coming whatsoever. I can't pretend like I saw it coming. I thought they should go to the lottery, get a superstar player. And Meany talks about it. They've got a great goaltending tandem right now. I can't believe I'm actually saying this. I trust Philip Grubauer. I trust Joey Decord, at least for the time being, with what's going on with the Kraken.
Bizarre time in the NHL world. By the way, if you want to get your Buffalo Sabres fixed this week, make sure you go check out At the Rink. Zach Benson on the latest episode of that, and nice. That should be phenomenal stuff. That's a Pete Jensen favorite. You've been touting that guy for like 3 years. But anyways, lots of questions about the New Jersey Devils, guys. I still, for the life of me, don't comprehend means what's going on in this league where the last couple of years, teams are just itching to fire coaches. And now, like, I wonder if there's been a course correction where we're going to see more GMs fired. Because I always wondered, and people are like, why did Trotz become GM? Because he's stable and has a job for 5 or 6 years. But now I think we're seeing it go the other way, where I wonder about the GM in New Jersey and his job safety right now.
Yeah, and it's fair to wonder about that. And, you know, I don't know how true the trade report was about trying to get Quinn Hughes and who was involved in that trade, whether it was Dawson Mercer or they tried to move guys like Palat or Brown who had no trade clauses. But when that stuff gets leaked, I wonder about morale and vibes in the locker room, right? I mean, it can't be high. They're not playing great. They can't get a save from either goaltender at the moment. They only have 2 wins since Jack Hughes has returned to the lineup. How about Dougie Hamilton? I mean, the guy's got 9 points this season in roughly 40 games. It's 2 points since October. So there's a lot of bad things going on right now with the Devils. I don't think that they're going to make a run and get back into the playoff race. So I think if we're looking for changes from the front office, from a team, it's probably that squad.
You want a stats pack, boys. I brought it today, Jake. Since December 1st, 6-11-1. They got pumped 9-0 by the rival New York Islanders. I could not believe my eyes when I heard Sheldon Keefe talk after that game. He was talking about generating offense. Mean just mentioned it. The crease has been a joke for this team. Markstrom just signed an extension. I don't think he has recorded a win or a save since signing that extension. But the last 10 games, 3.33, 8.82. Allen, the last 9 games, 2.96, 905. It goes deeper than that, Jake. Since Jack Hughes came back, 2-5-1, 13 goals for, 28 against, 1 goal, 3 assists for Hughes in that span. Heischer's got 9 points in the last 18. Hughes, being Luke, 7 points in the last 18. Meyer, 4 points in the last 13. You get where I'm going with this. What a disaster, because I don't know about you guys. From a fantasy point of view, I thought New Jersey was going to be a gold mine this season.
I think a lot of us did, and I was skeptical on them and their ceiling because I still question, can this team get it done in the postseason? But I wasn't really questioning, can they make the postseason? And now we're obviously questioning that with what's going on, and we're talking about GM changes, possible coaching changes. I still feel like the best quick fix is the coaching change. I'm not saying they got to go out there and fire Sheldon Keefe, and we did see the GM change, I guess, work in Buffalo, but I feel like Buffalo was already trending before the GM change. It was just more of a timing thing for me. So if New Jersey wants to salvage the season, maybe it does have to come down to a Sheldon Keefe move. And Meany, looking through the mailbag, obviously a lot of New Jersey Devils questions. As bad as we're talking about them right now, Nick just read off a bunch of horrendous numbers. I believe Jake Allen should be playing a little bit more here moving forward. I think he gives them the better chance than Markstrom right now. Any buy low appeal on any of these New Jersey Devils players? Because I think there is, at least on a couple. I don't think they're going to play this bad the rest of the year.
I'm looking at the most dropped players today. Mercer, Timo Meier, Luke Hughes, Jesper Bratt, even Dougie Hamilton. Jeez, a couple people have dropped Nico Heischer and Jack Hughes. Wow. So I would be in on on Jack Hughes. Timo Meier, he's had 7+ shots in 2 of his last 3 games. He's still a volume shooter. He does a lot of good things if he's not scoring. And Nico Hischier, Dawson Mercer, Luke Hughes, Dougie Hamilton, both goalies. I have no issue moving on from either of those guys, but the big boys, Nick, are the guys that I would be purchasing. And if they do make a coaching change, we've seen this numerous times across the league, we would see a bump, and I think it probably is time for a new voice in the locker room.
It concerns me, the paparazzi's after Jack Hughes big time. I don't know if you guys have heard. It's been all over social media, but he's supposedly dating Tate McRae, who's a massive, you know, singer.
Canadian
as well. Can't forget that. But just the pictures coming out, and Hughes is still wearing the brace on his hand. That concerns me. He hasn't looked the same. He scored in his first game. Nevertheless, we get back to the mailbag here. And Jake, I'll throw this one at you. Remember that guy in Anaheim? Leo Carlson.
Yeah.
Bueller.
Vaguely remember him.
8 of the last 9 games, he is pointless. For me, guys, this is the most disappointing team of, say, the last 25 games. Again, it's been such a bizarre fantasy season. The Ducks are just atrocious now. Like, I was sort of grinning seeing Chris Kreider score a goal the other night after I dropped him on all 4 of my teams. But across the board, like, even Dostal was such a gold find, you know, the first month and a half, but they just can't keep the puck out of the net. They're getting shown up now by Trevor Zegras now. It's wild times in Anaheim, Jake.
Every file that we were loving on early in the season for Anaheim has gone the other way. You mentioned Dostal between the pipes. Leo Carlson, he was a monster in that first month of the season. Like, it was, we were talking about him up there with the Celebrinis of the world, and now we've gotten to the point where people don't even want him on their roster. Cutter Gauthier's maybe slowed down a little bit, does get the goal against his former team, and then Anaheim gets completely dunked on by Trevor Zegras. Like, just rubbing salt in the wound for a team that is slipping outside of a playoff spot now, can't win a game, and then that happens. So, meaning, I don't know how this team responds. I still believe in the talent of this roster, Joel Quenneville behind the bench, and they're very lucky they play in the Pacific Division. It's the division that will wait around for you, and they built up a little bit of equity early in the season, so it's not like their playoff spot's cooked by any means, but they got to get it going here quickly. And is there anybody in Anaheim you still got some interest in? I mean, Beckett Seneca is still producing. He's still getting the minutes. He's still scoring. He's somebody I would certainly still want on my roster. But anybody else there in Anaheim you got interest in?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in on Seneca, right? I think Leo Carlson, he still got 42 points in 42 games. Like, what he was doing was just unsustainable. So he's still getting top line minutes at 5-5. He's still on the top power play. He's still linked to Cutter Gauthier, who's among the leaders in shots and shot attempts. And so those are two players that I really like. But the biggest thing with this Ducks team is they're just inexperienced on the blue line. Like, their veterans are Gudas and Truba. Like, those aren't shutdown defensemen. They allow the most goals per game. They have one of the worst penalty kills per game. They don't play a great brand out of 5-5. It's like high tempo. So Dostal, there's a lot of questions here in the mailbag about Dostal. You got to move on from him, unfortunately, right? Those ratios are just, bye-bye. You put him in the same grouping with Markstrom. You don't rock these guys. They're not even inside the top 35 in our goalie rankings. And you stream other positions. And guys, there's a lot of other questions here on top-tier goalies, which makes me think there's a buy-low window for some of these guys, like maybe a Leo Carlson. How about Hellebuck? There's a lot of questions about Hellebuck. Somebody's like, why do you still have Hellebuck ranked as the number one goalie? We're ranking for projections, for ceilings. We're trying to project moving forward. Hellebuck's one of those guys that could have 4 shutouts in a 6-game span and win you a couple weeks. So I think him and Jake Oettinger are 2 goalies that we've seen a lot of questions about, Nick, and I would be looking to buy if you need help in net with those two. They're still elite goalies.
Means took this personal for sure, because people were at him at his throat the last couple days. But yeah, you're right on Winnipeg. We talked about this briefly on Monday, right, about, you know, what to do with the Winnipeg Jets. And I still, like, they're going to miss the playoffs, in my opinion. I think you're way too far behind now. But more so the value they'll bring post-trade deadline, post-Olympic break, especially if Hellebuck's healthy. He by himself will win 3 or 4 games. I know he struggled the last little while, but I'm still trying to get come to grips with the fact, Jake, that they won the President's Trophy last season, man.
It's amazing. I guess, watch out next year for the Colorado Avalanche, assuming they're going to win the President's Trophy this year and someone doesn't catch them. Are they going to have that Jets season next year? I highly doubt it with that roster, but I mean, we doubted it this year with Winnipeg, and now all of a sudden they're one of the worst teams in the league. They can't win a hockey game, and I just think that room is severely broken. Now, at some point, it could turn around, and we could get some fantasy value. I don't know if that's right now. Now, another team I'm kind of interested in right now, Nick, is the Chicago Blackhawks. Not because their roster's great. I mean, Bedard's out, but it sounds like he's nearing a return. And they just put up a big number against St. Louis on Wednesday. So, you know, maybe a team to just keep a sneaky eye on. If they're putting up those kind of numbers without Bedard, and then you throw Bedard back into that mix, I think there's some interesting names on Chicago that would certainly be available on your waiver wire.
More importantly, can you tell me what the hell that was with Hofer and Binnington? Like, Hofer was hiding in the hallway. He didn't want to. Like, I don't know what's going on in St. Louis, guys. Like, I know Jimmy Montgomery, you had the initial coach bump last year, but it just feels like the Blues are trying to resist this rebuild, and they just keep going around in circles. But from a fantasy point of view, too, like, I can't get excited about anybody in that team, never mind Kyrou. Jordan Binnington's the goaltender for Canada at the Olympics. Like, they just have not been good. No cohesion with that group this year.
Yeah, it's been a rough go. And even Logan Thompson is another goalie. That's why I brought up Hellebuyck, right? There's a lot of top-tier goalies. I mean, Sorokin is, we could easily put him atop the list. But these are goalies that I think you just have to be patient with. We've seen a lot of mediocre play between the pipes. So just be patient with these top-tier goalies. But the Blues are a mess. I don't know. Hofer has been better than Binnington. Maybe he deserves a few more starts moving forward. A couple other guys here that have been brought up in the mailbag, like Brock Besser, Quinton Byfield. If these guys aren't doing anything and you are not in a playoff spot, I just feel like it's time to stream the position. The last episode we talked about it is like our New Year's resolutions, like grab guys that are doing things, whether they're hitting or blocking shots or they're producing at the moment. You have to live in the moment. You can't miss the playoffs waiting for Quinton Byfield, Nick, to get going. It's not going to happen.
No, at this point in the season, it's run and gun time. Of course, what, 15, 16 some odd games before the Olympic break. Then after that, it's like, wow, fantasy playoffs just around the corner. Jake, I know we got some questions about a big revenge game guy next week, and I haven't revealed this, but I'm going to Vegas next week for the Leafs and Vegas Golden Knights game. But
baby,
I love when people just tell us what to do. This question, not even a question, a statement. Talk about Mitch Marner, Jake. We talked about him a lot in the preseason, but I think we both called it point per game Mitch Marner. I think he finishes with around 90 points. I think Vegas likes to spread the wealth. He's got center eligibility. But what's been your take on Mitch Marner? 41 games, he's got 42 points and 9 goals here.
I'd say underwhelming. I think the first couple weeks of the season, I really liked. I thought it was an instant fit, and then it's kind of slowed down a little bit. Now you look at the production, it's still there. He's still kind of putting up Marner-like numbers. Not a ton of shots, a bunch of assists and power play points in there. That's kind of what Marner did in Toronto, but I think to a bit of a lesser extent, Nick, you're right. They do like to spread things out in Vegas a little bit. And meaning I've been disappointed by Vegas in general, but yeah, you pull up the standings and top spot in the Pacific Division because, and I did check with the league on this, somebody does have to win the Pacific Division this year. Oh. I confirmed with Bettman, I confirmed with the entire league. Great. Someone's going to win the Pacific. So I don't know. It might just be by default. Vegas ends up winning it, but I don't know about you, Meanie. What have you seen with this Knights team, Marner included in this? It just, to me, it feels very underwhelming. I know they've had some players out of the lineup at times throughout the course of the season, but I've been extremely underwhelmed by what I'm seeing in Vegas.
Yeah, they've lost 8 of 10, and when you look at their lines, they're really strange. Like Marner, Nick mentions he has center eligibility, so Marner expected to center the second line today with Brendan Saad and Riley Smith. They have Pavel Dorofeyev on the fourth line. They have Thomas Hertl with Howden and Kostler on that third line. So they've really just mixed up their top-tier guys. I thought we'd see a little bit more Marner and Eichel. I assume at some point in the second half, if the division is on the line with them and the Oilers, the two teams that I truly believe in the Pacific, that we will see those two guys together. But I think some of these guys are buy low candidates given what we've seen from them lately, because I still believe in this squad overall. And as for Marner, I mean, yeah, maybe expectations a little bit high. You'd think, hey, he's going to go play with a superstar like Eichel. He's going to have a career season. He's still going to flirt with 100 points. Maybe 90 is a number he gets to. Still a really good season for him. And I do believe in this team overall. Nick, when they get Jay Theodore back, Braden McNabb, right? They are missing some guys on the blue line.
That's exactly it. They've been so ravaged by injury. And the one thing I've noticed about Vegas the last couple of years is their ability to pace themselves. Like again, they haven't had a good year, but as we've mentioned, they're right there for the division title. And I think it's a really good buy low time in general on the Vegas Golden Knights. My other question is, where in the hell is Aiden Hill? Okay. Carter Hart's got a 665 save percent. Like, he's been dreadful. Akira Schmid's doing his best, but like, you guys know how I feel about goalie. Like, where is this guy? Where is he, Jake?
I don't know. I'll start making some calls. I will. I'll do my best. I'll report back on. Man. We'll report back on Monday and see if we found him anywhere. But digging deeper into the mailbag, Pete, this might be a good one even for you because I know you work with the waiver wire and these are waiver wire type guys. But Regenda in San Jose, I don't know who this guy is, but he had a hat trick in 9 minutes against the Tampa. 9 minutes of ice time and he had a hat trick. Followed that up the next game with a goal. Someone asked, is it worth keeping him on the roster? He's got him and Tolvanen. I have liked what Tolvanen's done. It's slowed down the last few games. Which one moving forward, Pete?
So Tolvanen has more staying power, obviously, but this Regenda, 6 goals in 6 games this season. He's a 26-year-old undrafted player. I mean, San Jose is just finding some hidden gems left and right, right? Chernyshov is still up top with Celebrini. Curious to see if it's going to be Will Smith, Chernyshov, and Celebrini when Smith eventually comes back from injury. But that's another thing boosting Celebrini's case for the heart, like that his trusted sidekick Will Smith has been out since early December and it's like he's taken it up a notch. But yeah, I think when you look at, you know, the here and now, Regenda's a decent stream this week. Justin Sordiff, really, right, hats off, we nailed it the other day. Yes. And then Anthony Duclair, even from the Islanders, with a 5-point game. I mean, these are all guys that you could pick your spots and either hit in the props market, hoping they replicate it for 1 or 2 more games, or even stream them in fantasy.
Nick, I totally forgot until Pete just brought it up. We didn't let him take his victory lap for Sordiff. What a call, right?
Pete, take the floor, man. Like, that was the call of the year. I was laughing. I won't lie. I didn't tell you this, but I'm like, Justin Sordiff? But you nailed it, dude. What a call.
Yeah, it was the anytime goal, 1 goal I was expecting. He put up 3 and 5 points. I mean, and that was with Protas and Wilson out. So just insane. Must have been astronomical odds if you had him. If you listened to our show and you bet the multi-point game or the hat trick, something like that. But yeah, appreciate the props there.
Not the victory lap, guys, to tee up our upcoming segment, but we really drilled things the last couple of days on Monday. Man, the Zegras goal, the Gauthier goal means you're on fire with your props. I mean, if there's one segment you can't miss on this podcast, it's the one coming up after this short break. It's On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Don't go anywhere.
Hey everyone, Adnan Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The scrape of blades, the clash of sticks. Hockey's more than a game. It's unrelenting, never give up moments that make you feel alive. And so you commit to the weekly ups and downs, the long road to the playoffs. You wear your heart on your sleeve and your jersey with pride. And when you're there for your team, the NHL shop is there for you. Check out the largest selection of official NHL gear at NHLshop.com. Fanatics experience.
Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you back on NHL Fantasy on Ice. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner. With Bet365, you can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official league partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. I'll start things off. I'm looking forward to this Florida-Montreal game, the Habs on the back-to-back. My theory is that Brad Marchand might not play because he missed the third period against the Leafs the other day, but this could be like a revenge game for Mike Matheson and a response game. And wouldn't be shocked if Marchand scores, Jake. I wouldn't be shocked if Florida, after getting pumped by the Maple Leafs the other night, comes back with a victory here.
Tricky one for me. You do have the Habs on the second half of a back-to-back, but it's actually a spot I tend to like, where your second half back-to-back and you play both home games, no travel, you can get comfortable. You come to the rink. I don't think it'll concern the Habs too much, but I also feel like there's some bounce back appeal in Florida after losing to the Leafs. Speaking of the Leafs, I'm going to go to them on Thursday night, a team I haven't backed a ton this year. I think a bit of a letdown for Philly. They get the big win against Anaheim. Trevor Zegras, he's swearing in his interview after the game and pumped about scoring against his former team. And I've seen signs of life from this Leafs team. Austin Matthews props as well, something I've been riding recently. You could play him for 2 points, that big plus money, over 3.5 shots. I'll be looking to Matthews and the Leafs on Thursday night, Nick.
I like it. I'll just add to that game too. Again, the Leafs 5-0-2 in the last seven, but Scott Laughton's return to Philadelphia. There's going to be money on the board for that game. So if you want a long shot anytime goal, you look at Scott Laughton as we go over to Means here for your calls here.
Yeah, I don't mind the Panthers call. One thing I'll say about is just Slavkovsky. Like, this guy's on a tear. I know this is a very small sample size, but I was watching the game last night and the broadcast brought up the point leader since December 20th. It's Kucherov, McKinnon, McDavid, Celebrini, and Slavkovsky. Like, this guy has been elite lately. How about we continue to pick on the Anaheim Ducks? So we hit the same game parlay on Monday's episode. Let's do a little one here, just 3-1, and just take the big boys, right? You could take Carolina, I think, on the puck line at plus 110 to win by two on home ice against Anaheim. But Nikolaj Ehlers, who had an unbelievably slow start, he's got 8 points over a four-game point streak. He's up on that top line with Aho and Svechnikov. Aho leads a team of points, Svechnikov second in the team of points. So you could take those three with Gostisbehere and Seth Jarvis. You get plus 350 for that one.
I think the Avs are going to hammer Ottawa on Thursday as well. Ottawa, second half of a back-to-back at altitude against an Avs team that's lost two games in regulation in a row. I think McKinnon, he probably hasn't slept in like 4 days because the team's actually losing games. So I like the Avs. I know it's a bit chalky, but you could play the puck line, maybe play it in regulation. The under in Seattle and Minnesota, I like where both teams are at in terms of goaltending. I think we could see a bit of a lower scoring game there. And Nick, do you have any feel on Edmonton and Winnipeg? Can Winnipeg break their losing streak against McDavid and the Oilers? It's priced at a pick'em on Thursday, surprisingly enough. Yeah. I personally like Edmonton. I still have some concerns about the goaltending there, but I can't trust Winnipeg to win this game against the Oilers right now, especially the way McDavid's cooking. And again, like I said about the Leafs with the Matthews props, just keep riding Connor McDavid. He's the hottest player in the NHL.
That's exactly it. Operation Fade Winnipeg Jets. I think that room is fractured. They're overdue for something. They're not going to do anything. The season's a lost cause, and I like Edmonton way more. I think they're a perennial Stanley Cup contender, so I'm going to play the Oilers probably in that game. Vancouver-Detroit, I wanted to add, I like the Red Wings in regulation. The Canucks, I mean, it's very rare, but the Quinn Hughes trade ruined two franchises, the Canucks and the New Jersey Devils at this point. So I like Vancouver in that game. And maybe this is the kiss of death, Pete. Give me the Buffalo Sabres on the road against the New York Rangers. I don't care that JT Miller's coming back. I'm riding your red hot Sabres, Petey.
I like it. I also like Jason Zucker, what he's done so far this year. He's only played 22 games. He's got 9 power play points. He's got 5 power play goals that leads Buffalo. And you could get him plus 275 for any time goal, plus 195 for 3+ shots, and an even bigger number if you want to dive into the power play point market for him. He's playing on the top power play with Tage, Darlene, Josh Doan, right? Like, it's pretty loaded out there.
I like the Sabres as well. And, you know, I just wanted to jump in when we were talking about Fox and Quick. I think if you're an Igor owner, the easy thing is just to get Quick. I mean, there may not be another goalie that's going to get regular starts in the meantime. And then for Fox, we've seen this before, right? They tried a bunch of different guys on that blue line and they weren't really doing a whole lot. So I'm with you guys. I like Buffalo. And do we just pick on the Devils? Like, is there a way that they bounce back tonight on the road against the Penguins? The Penguins have been playing pretty good hockey. It looks like Malkin could return today. Slotted in on the second line with Chinnikov, who's plus money for a point. So maybe keep an eye on those guys. That top line of Pittsburgh, Jake, has been awesome with Crosby and Raquel and Russ. I'd look at those guys for maybe an anytime goal or a same game parlay for all three of them to hit the score sheet against New Jersey.
And like you said, Gino might be coming back as well. We know how great he was before he got hurt. Could be a little bit of rust with him. You know, he's an older body. He might need a couple games to get the engine going. But look at line combos certainly in Pittsburgh. And Nick, one I'm looking at for Friday night, the Utah Mammoth at home to the St. Louis Blues. We just saw what the Blackhawks did to the Blues on Wednesday. Utah needs wins, and you know, Keller maybe a couple points in that game, Gunther anytime goal. I think from a props angle, Utah could be a good team to attack on Friday night.
I love playing Dylan Gunther any way I can. Just to wrap, I don't know if Pete, you specifically saw this story. We've been pronouncing Igor Chinnikov's name wrong the whole time. It's actually Igor Chinnikov. Pete, like, answer that, man. You're the Chinnikov guy here.
Yeah, I heard about that. He didn't look at his player page or something like that. So gotta love when a guy's dialed in on the ice and doesn't care what's going on the internet, right? So
clearly. No why. Just eat.
Bizarre stuff, boys. Anyways, everybody's been dialed in today. Thank you so much for the mailbag questions. And Jake, we look ahead to Monday, week 15 waiver wire edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. How about that?
I will go out on my assignment. I promised you earlier in the show I will find out where some of these goaltenders are hiding. And I'm curious, just before we leave, what are the Carolina Hurricanes going to do between the pipes? Do they really trust Brandon Bussey and Frederik Andersen to win them a Stanley Cup? I've got my keen eye on what's going on in Raleigh. Great team, but I think they need to add a goaltender here at some point, Pete.
They do, and it's not good news for them to see Matthew Tkachuk in the full contact jersey. He could come back any day now. I wanted to mention that, right, for the upcoming schedule. They do play Carolina in the near future as well. Montreal, Ottawa, Buffalo, and Carolina is, as their road trip continues, Florida. I would pounce on the anytime goal once we see Matthew Tkachuk in the lineup in the coming days.
I would tell you, you're right. In Carolina specifically, I told you, if I was them, my play is Stuart Skinner. Like, I'm not kidding about that. Weirdly enough, I think he's a guy who can put them over the top. He's got experience in the Stanley Cup playoffs, can make a save. He's available in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's big for me, too. But anyways, I digress on these damn goalies. Monday, again, week 15, waiver wire edition. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy and Ice. Talk next week.